All right, here we are back. Sports Neuropsychology Society Conference 2016. We got Kat McGill. She is a pediatric neuropsychologist in the Children's National Health System in Washington, D.C. She's going to be talking a little bit later today about gender-specific concussion treatment. Is that right? What was on gender?
That's what we're assessing.
Concussion assessment guidelines and procedures. All right. And then Ms. Donna Broschick, a professor and neuropsychologist at the University of Virginia Health System. So we're going to be just having a conversation here about gender specific. I know they kind of touched on it at the end of the opening or the pre-conference. And so it's be interesting to hear because from an athletic training perspective, they say that girls soccer has the most concussions. And honestly, at my school, we have softball has had the most concussions because girls are just learning to play softball and they put that ball, that glove up right by their face and miss it. So without much further ado, we're just take it away from here.
So. Sure. So thank you for having us both. It's really a fun opportunity. And
I appreciate it.
Very excited to be sitting here with Dr. Broschick today. So certainly, I think one of the overarching points I'd like to highlight before we get started is just that, you know, research is evolving and gender-specific assessment and guidelines are something that may be in the future, but right now I think we're still trying to basically understand what those gender differences are. So Dr. Broschick, if you could you highlight a few of the research findings, perhaps, of what we do understand and maybe what we need to learn next in terms of differences in concussion between the genders?
Sure. So there's actually been some very interesting research, and if we look back to it was in the 2000s at the University of Virginia. We did a large study with some colleagues, and we actually found that there were some gender differences in concussion symptoms and the length of time to recovery. And what I think was really interesting about the study that we did is that we looked at this very large data set. So it was high school and college, and included multiple different sports, and the females took at least a day longer to recover, and they had more self-reported symptoms, but also more objective test findings, so cognitive findings of slightly increased symptoms. So when we looked at that data, we thought, well, maybe part of what's happening is that there's, you know, maybe we had a large segment of football players in that study, and we thought, well, maybe there is some protective effect of helmets, and that's somehow obscuring differences. So we actually then went in and we took out every athlete who was helmeted, which was only males, because it was the male lacrosse players and football players who wore helmets. So it was only the female data and then men in non-helmeted sports, and it was still the same finding. The women took a little bit longer to recover and had more subjective and objective symptoms. So it was certainly an interesting finding. But the research since that time is very mixed. Some people have found some gender differences, but there are multiple studies, including large meta-analyses, that have not found gender differences. So it's an interesting area of research, but it's still something that we need to figure out.
Could you highlight maybe just a couple of the gender differences that are suspected? So
sure.
You just mentioned some of the research is showing that there might be, of course some is showing that it's not very a mixed message at the moment, but what are some of those gender differences that might be emerging?
So I think there is a perception that the concussion recovery in women may be a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. But why is that? And so when you look at some of the research, there have been sort of a number of different factors that have been proposed as an explanation for that. And one of those is the difference in a neck strength in relative to male athletes. And so if you, I always talk about, you know, football players as an example. If you think about, you know, seeing the pictures of the professional football players, I call it the no neck. Their neck is so large, it kind of goes from their ears to their shoulders. That is a huge stabilizing force for the head and brain. Most women don't like that look, so tend not to develop their necks as much. And so what may happen is it may be that because the neck is less stabilized through that developed musculature, with the same amount of force, the women, their head may get more rotation or acceleration, deceleration forces.
Mm-hmm.
So the same amount of impact may actually cause more force in the female brain. So that's one idea. And then another area that has been proposed is hormonal differences. And recently there was some interesting data suggesting that potentially at the particular point of a woman's cycle, depending on the level of the hormone, that may contribute to more symptoms or not. And so that was actually a very interesting finding, but a much, much more research needs to be done in that area.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're mentioning, you know, of course, it's being taken by the head, maybe as a result of weaker neck muscles, mm-hmm. and certain women clinic, I call it the bobblehead effect.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
That's one way to think of it, that the force is just absorbed by the head and the brain and not distributed evenly
exactly.
throughout the body.
And I think that raises an important point, too, with the younger athletes. So, you know, even for younger males, they have the bobblehead phenomenon as well. And so I think that's an important factor.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, we started this conversation with the introduction of girls and concussions related in soccer. Right, and so certainly while reason is absolutely emerging, this might be something to consider that, you know, is an extra big factor as they engage in that play. And you know, we know that concussions can be sustained by hitting the ball, but that's not the number one injury, form of concussion, cause of concussion in soccer. And so it's an interesting point of introduction that you mentioned in soccer specifically, but certainly ties to an extra. So, you know, if gendered, as we do research, if we decide that, yes, there are definite gender differences maybe in the mechanism of injury, you know, what's causing these injuries in the first place, and also recovery trajectory, what might that mean for treatment protocol?
So I personally still feel that individualized concussion management is the key, because there are so many things that we know predict a more complicated recovery. So a baseline history of somebody who's more somatically focused, they're more likely to report more symptoms and potentially have a longer recovery. People who have a pre-concussion history of migraine headaches have a more complicated recovery. People who have anxiety prior to their concussion have a more complicated recovery. The information on age, you know, that can certainly affect recovery. So gender is another factor, and so I just feel that there's so many different factors that are associated with prolonged recovery that individualized concussion management is more important. And I think when you look at gender differences, that's group data, but that may not necessarily, you know, there's so many individual differences within group data that I think what we as clinicians need to do is really focus on that individualized concussion management and look at all the risk factors for that particular athlete.
Sure. In your clinic, as you're approaching each management, individually, as you're saying, you know, do you see that you tend to need to do certain types of management for girls versus boys? You know, are there symptoms that girls tend to have or boys tend to have but then warrant specific treatment?
So I feel that there are perceptions that those differences exist. Mm-hmm. I think there are perceptions that women tend to report more symptoms than men. I think there are perceptions that women may tend to have more of the emotional psychological factors. But I find that when I do that individualized concussion management, I have just as many males who are telling me about their symptoms and who will endorse them. And I see a lot of males who are telling me about their anxiety and their depression and psychological components. So I do not vary how I provide care based on gender. Mm-hmm. Again, I really focus on that individualized management and trying to determine, is this athlete somebody who's likely to minimize their symptoms or report a lot of them, regardless of gender, because I see it in both genders. And to really evaluate all the symptoms, the cognitive, the emotional, and then assessing the physical symptoms as well. And clinically, I don't see a gender difference. But I think we need to continue that research and to see if there are factors that we should be aware of that could potentially be modifiable factors that can help keep people safely playing sports.
Sure. You know, it's interesting. In addition to identifying post-injury what differences may exist between the genders, mm-hmm. I also wonder if we need to do research then pre-injury mm-hmm. on how we're educating mm-hmm. Girls versus boys on the risk mm-hmm. associated with concussion. And also when they, I guess, they're injured and they're sitting around, because how we're interviewing them and how we're assessing them, you know, is it fair to say that all of our interview tools and instruments of which we're measuring the deficits from concussion, you know, are they the same, are they capturing the same signal from boys and girls?
And the other thing that I think is important, and you raised a really good point, is that a lot of the publicly available materials on concussion safety show football. They show male athletes.
Absolutely.
And we do a lot of work in our local high schools to provide their annual education. And some of the, you know, jazziest, you know, nicely done media programs on concussion involve football, and I think we need to be careful. We don't want to give a message to that girls, you don't need to, you know, this is not relevant to you because it's male football players. And so what I'd really like to see is a lot more time and effort devoted into materials that show both genders equally, and then some that really just emphasize female sports so that women and girls recognize that this applies to them as well.
I think that's very important, and I go almost one step beyond that too and saying this isn't just a sports injury.
As exactly.
We know from our clinic,
exactly.
It is not just athletes walking in our door. You know,
right.
We have a lot of girls and boys who are injured, you know, I think on the playground, skateboarding, certainly just kids
slipping
being
hits, balls and bicycles,
right?
And, yeah.
Wrestling around with
exactly.
their siblings, you know,
exactly.
injuries can occur in any setting. For boys and for girls.
Exactly.
So I think that, yes, recognizing that this isn't just a male sport injury,
exactly.
but also females within even beyond that, not just a sports injury.
Exactly.
I think awareness is increasing, that's where we're heading, and I'm really pleased that
mm-hmm.
awareness is increasing, but there's certainly room to keep that message going.
Exactly.
Right. So this ties back also to the introduction that you gave us with girls in soccer, but do you think girls are at greater risk for sustaining concussions?
So I think that we don't know. There is some information that suggests that women may get more concussions than girls in certain sports. Certainly
mm-hmm.
soccer is a very significant one. But I think there's still more we need to figure out. And the other thing is that I think it's really important. You know, sports and recreational activity are such an important part of a healthy lifestyle. And we want to keep people healthy. We want to keep them active. And the risk of concussion is small relative to the dangers of diabetes and obesity and all those other negative health consequences of limited activity. So I think we want to balance figuring out the concussion issue, managing it appropriately, and getting people back to activity safely and quickly, but in a safe way, because we want to keep people safe. And I just, sometimes I get concerned that it's going to be misperceived as, well, maybe girls get more concussions, so maybe we shouldn't have them play sports. And sports are so important from a physical perspective, but also a psychological and social perspective. And so I think it's extremely important that we collect data, do our research, do our due diligence, but we need to keep girls and boys active and healthy.
I could not agree with you more. Absolutely. And I think, you know, getting that message out goes back to more education, not just about the risk, but also the rewards.
Exactly.
That we can
exactly.
have with extracurricular activities.
Exactly.
Thank you so much. Were there any other questions that you were
no,
addressing?
I think that's probably it for right now. So.
Great. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so
thank
much
you.
For this opportunity. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.